News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
What's happening on the ground? We're hearing that there are fatalities both sides.
8 Israeli soldiers were confirmed to have been killed by the IDF yesterday. Hezbollah say they believe they have killed more. They are certainly not fading into the background. They are fighting Israeli forces as Israeli forces progress through parts of southern Lebanon. A lot of people suggested would happen, or at least predicted would happen before this invasion, that Hezbollah, you know, would not just backtrack and sort of fade away into Lebanon. That seems to have turned out to be the case. There is heavy fighting on the northern border, but from both ways, Hezbollah are still firing a lot of missiles into Israel as well.
Yeah, and Hezbollah are claiming to have destroyed, I think it's 3 Israeli tanks. This is a significant escalation, ground troops committed, actual combat on the streets, Israel threatening a severe retaliation against Iran for the missile launch against Israel by Iran. Ironically, the one person killed by that Iranian strike was a Palestinian from Gaza, which I think is somehow ironic. But looking at this, as I know you are on the ground there, are we now into all out war? Are we on the brink of all out war?
Well, I mean, if we're not in an all-out war already, then I think you just have to ask the question of what does an all-out war look like? And fighting is still going on in Gaza. Okay, it might be at a lower tempo than previous months, but it is still ongoing. The Israelis are still carrying out airstrikes. They're still fighting on the ground. Palestinians in Gaza and Hamas fighters in Gaza are still being killed. You have an invasion into, and you know, they call it an incursion or a limited ground operation. It is an invasion of southern Lebanon, and that is only a few days old and presumably has some way left to run, even by Israeli estimates. And those are the optimistic estimates that they'll be there for days, possibly weeks. I still believe it could be much longer than that. Yeah. It will likely be longer. And now you have a confrontation with Iran, which takes on a sort of a different dynamic because you don't have that ground element. I mean, I cannot foresee a situation where Israel is going to send ground troops in any number into Iran because of the distance. But you have an air war that has continued between the two, and we await what Israel does next by way of response to Iran's missiles that were fired at Israel the other night. So I would say that this is an all-out war, but it is an all-out war that could get worse than it is even now.
Look, thank you very much for joining us, and do stay safe. That is Alistair Bunkle, Sky's Middle Eastern correspondent, live from Israel. And for more on this and to discuss what is happening with the Irish troops, I'm joined now by Declan Power, defence and security expert. Good morning to you, Declan. We've been discussing it all morning. In your view, is it right that our troops remain where they are in southern Lebanon?
Yes, in a word, because I was listening to your earlier exchange with the previous caller and our contributor. And what needs to be remembered here is that this is not the first time Irish troops have been in this situation. Troops were there for 2 previous Israeli invasions in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. Troops were there during Operation Accountability and Grapes of Wrath. They stayed, they manned their positions, and this something else needs to be addressed too. Where possible, those troops that aren't required for specific roles or duties are in shelter. The entirety of the contingent do not take to the shelters once the shelling or the missile strikes start. There are certain procedures and processes. Things have to be observed. Things have to be logged.
So there's people on guard duty, in effect, outside the bunkers.
Not just on guard duty. There are people manning operation centres and coordinating and reporting back to the headquarters in UNIFIL in Nakura, and indeed back to New York, because UNIFIL are the eyes and ears of the international community. And the mere fact that they're there, it's not a deterrent, but it is a limiting factor. It was a limiting factor in Operation Accountability and Grapes of Wrath and in the previous invasions. People will get killed, you know, in this civilian population. Sure. More would get killed. But think about this. Israel has a completely free hand in Gaza in what it does. at the moment. Other than Hamas, it doesn't quite have that same thing, and neither do Hezbollah. The mere fact that the UN forces are there will, you know,
you think it mitigates in some way against the ensuing violence that may occur?
Yes,
the Taoiseach just said that the troops are safe and there's no plan to withdraw them, but Captain Kevin Kenny of the Defence Force, the press officer, he says that, you know, people are saying that it's safe. I don't think that's the correct thing to say. It's a dangerous environment in a dangerous area. They're not fully safe,
yes,
are they?
I mean,
it's naive to suggest that they're safe.
But it's naive. People, they're professional soldiers. Managing conflict is their raison d'etre. And they have been doing that very well. And those of us who wore the uniform and who went before them know exactly what they're facing. On a positive note, they have better personal equipment and body armour. They have better systems of protection. The whole concept of force protection is something that is far more highly developed than it would have been in the 90s when I was in the army out there.
Okay.
And
so in your view, I suppose the risk-benefit ratio, the benefits of them being there outweigh the risks. Is that fair to say?
At the moment. But there's another aspect to this that hasn't been addressed. When the Irish Quick Reaction Force went to Syria to the UNDOF mission, which has ended now, Irish participation has ended, that mission is reasonably static and doesn't face the same threats. That was because another country's contingent pulled out because it got too dangerous. The Irish were called for it. They went in, they steadied the boat in the UNDOF mission. That's what we have done as well in UNIFIL. We have a lot of experience. If a country like Ireland was to now turn around and pull out unilaterally, that would completely implode the UNIFIL mission. It would lead to a level of similar attitude and panic to set in with other countries. We would sabotage the UN mandate.
So if we left, other countries would leave and the mission would be disbanded, is what I'm hearing you say?
I wouldn't go so far as to say disbanded. It would be sabotaged. It would probably limp along. We should act multilaterally. We are with partner nations. There are a number of other EU nations out there as well. Our battalion is a joint Irish-Polish battalion. So if this mission ends, which it could do, I mean, it could get to a point where it's not sustainable.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you as a last, as a last question. You said, well, for now, you know, the risk benefit ratio works, that they should remain. What would change that?
Well, it was talked about, could they carry out their mandate? Well, in previous iterations of invasion and conflict, their mandate was limited, but they stayed the course and they held the line and prevented things from getting worse. If it comes to the point that the UN authority, in consultation with the contributing nations, decide that this is just a pointless exercise, and there would have been a system of evacuation prepared for in an event like this. So, in other words, we should act in consultation multilaterally with partner nations. We shouldn't be the ones to turn and pull out and sabotage something that we helped build with blood over the last 30-odd years.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on that. That is Declan Power, their defence.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.